March is Black History Month in Belgium, and we talked to one of the organizers about why the event is important and the many activities going on.
My name is Eric Cusuzo. I am 28, and I am a social cultural worker. And for Black History Month, what I essentially do is that I am an event programmer. So I come up with a lot of the program for the city of Brussels, because you know how Black History Month is organized in chapters. Like each city makes their own program. We have a chapter in Antwerp, a chapter in Brussels, a chapter in Ghent, and a chapter in Limburg, which is mostly Hasselt, of course. And I am in charge, along with three other amazing women, of the program in Brussels.
Why does Belgium need a Black History Month?
I think Belgium really needs a Black History Month because not only every time people think of Black history in Belgium, people automatically think of colonization, which is definitely true. Like the history of colonization, slavery is what created the term, the race as a system, as a social construct, and that created Black. So the way Belgium took part of it is definitely part of its history, and also it's part of ours as Black people. But also because actually it's not just that. Black people have been in Belgium for decades, and we have not only contributed to a lot of the cultural creations, political discourse, and like making this country what it really is. And I feel like this is something that is not really recognized, and that people don't know about, and that people have misconceptions about, actually. You know, and so we thought that it was good to celebrate not only the achievements, but also the things that we experienced and we went through. I feel like we're always, when we look at music, when we look at sports, we look at writing and whatnot, journalism, we have been here, we've been here, we've been creating, we've been achieving, we've been going through things, and I feel like it's important for that to be recognized.
I feel like white people still seem to think of Black people as foreigners.
Like in my case, for example, I was not born here, and I have very strong connection to my culture and to my people and to the continent. But at the end of the day, I've been here for 21, almost 22 years, and I speak the languages, and I went to the schools and everything. So I don't know what would make anybody more or less Belgian than I am. And it's even more true for the people who are born here. You know,
yeah.
People who are born here, Black people who are born here, they go through everything. Unless there is a certain thing that you get just for being white Belgian, I don't see any difference with any one of the white kids. You're born here, you go through school here and everything, and this is what defines your Belgian-ness, then yeah, they're just as Belgian, you know? But
yeah.
Of course, this thing that, yeah, makes Black people, yeah, always be seen as outsiders and foreigners, just from the link to the continent and to the Africanness. But I always tell people, I mean, hey, with coloniality and enslavement, when you reap that, what you sow is multiculturality in your country, because people tend to, at some point, emigrate to the country that colonized theirs, their homeland, because of, you know, language and culture, because, you know, during colony, they spread the Belgian culture so much that, yeah, there are cultural links and there are cultural commonalities that go beyond language. So, of course, it's easier to live here. But that's only because of, yeah, colonialism and whatnot, because otherwise our ancestors would have stayed where they were. And so, yeah, that's the thing. Then you create a common history and a common past. And so when we end up here, then, yeah, I mean, we are just as entitled to this place as any of y'all are. So to make us feel like we're like outsiders, foreigners, or intruders is laughable for me.
Is the month specifically devoted to issues that affect Black people living in Belgium, or are there also global issues included, or are those one and the same?
You know what? In a way, they are. And I love this whole Pan-Africanist approach of looking how Blackness affects us, like the way it affects us in the same ways everywhere in the world. And it's like that's what was missing to a lot of movements so far. You know, last year when Black Lives Matter happened, although people were trying to still make it George Floyd only, George Floyd only, George Floyd only, and were happy, like people were recognizing what happened to George Floyd, but then quickly they added other victims in America. And then quickly we also look at like, oh, well, you know what? This happened in Colombia. Some kid was just dropping off somebody, some black kid. Yeah, this black kid was accompanying a friend after dropping a friend off at home, was outside during a curfew, ended up dead by the police. It happened, like people realized that, yes, Lamine Moïse Mongora died in the same way as George Floyd, but instead of four cops, it was eight cops in 2018. People found out about so many cases in the UK, in Brazil, and whatnot. So like people realized like, oh my God, this burden of blackness and policing and death exists everywhere we exist as black people. So this is a global issue that is just contextualized by the way the police works locally, whether they have body cams or not, whether they're allowed to do these truck holds or not, but black people still end up dead. But of course, these are global issues and they happen everywhere, but we always contextualize them to Belgium. So it's kind of like a double approach because we look at, okay, if we're going to talk about police brutality, what is policing in Belgium? Where did it come from? And what are they allowed, not allowed to do and all these kind of things? What are very specific to our cases? If we look at colonialism, it happened everywhere, but we cannot think of the US, the Caribbean, and South America the same way we think of Belgium, because the US and all these other places are settler colonies where the settlers settled there, stole the land, and brought black people who have been there for now centuries. We in Belgium, the enslavement and whatnot, and colonization happened on the continent. The propaganda was brought here to create the image of blackness in Belgium. And so the way we approach that is very different. It's global, yeah. It's still colonization and enslavement, but it's very different. And we have to be very much aware of this. Like people in the, like black Americans, you know, descendants of enslaved people see themselves as Americans. But here we know what country we come from. We descended from, I come here from Rwanda, and we still organize ourselves within like national state diasporas. And that creates a certain different kind of relation to the history in Belgium, depending on what diaspora you're from. Especially if you're Congolese, Rwandan, and Burundian, you have a specific link to Belgium, right? So like it's all very contextualized to Belgium, but we always make sure that we take global issues and also be very grateful to the people in the US and Canada who started the concept of a Black History Month, and the people in the UK who fought for it to come to Europe, but we would be nowhere if those people had not done this thing before. So it's a very global and local approach, but of course always contextualized. There's like a different, like interesting talk that's going to come out on the 16th with a Congolese art curator and psychologist named Sohana Munsia, who and this artist from Cameroon and based in Antwerp, Guy Within. And we go through this conversation, and at some point Sohana says something super interesting, because I was the one moderating it. She says that black people have to realize that in Belgium, until they know where you're from, you're Congolese. They're always going to assume you're Congolese until they know where you're from, or ask, like, they're going to ask you where you're from, which is makes you a foreigner, because they will not ask you if you are not black. And yeah, and it's very different because, yeah, indeed, black Americans will be perceived as Americans. Indeed, they will never just be reattached so strongly by the white people and the establishment to the continent. And it makes such a great difference, really different the way we approach Black History Month.
And so does this mean that the speakers are also international, both local and international guests?
Definitely. We have a lot of local guests from different diasporas, and we're trying to have as many people from like different diasporas as we can. We're working with South Africans, with Congolese, Rwandans, with Caribbean people, all sorts of people who are based in Belgium, always and foremost first. And then sometimes you also get insight from people living abroad and from other diasporas and whatnot, international guests, because they are relevant on the topic and they know much more about the topic. And then we just use that conversation to be like, okay, how is this thing in general? How does that happen where you live? And then we take the lens of Belgium and we look at it through that lens. Because there's this thing, like everybody when they hear Black History Month, they think of the US at first. because of, you know, of American cultural imperialism. American culture is everywhere. A lot of American culture comes from Black American culture, but we know that Black American culture are not, Black Americans are not in a position in society to be able to even profit from their culture. But still, it's everywhere. It's still everywhere, and so people will always go to the American writers. People will read a lot of Toni Morrison, James Baldwin, bell hooks, and whatnot before they read their own Black queer, Black feminist local writers and whatnot. So we always need to make sure that we're not falling into that trap of just sticking to that. What is the productions that we have in Belgium, and where are they hidden? Because they have been done. People have been writing. We just never had access to it. So that we bring that to life just as well.
Yeah. And some of the events, I think, are in English. Is that right?
Definitely, definitely. Especially in Brussels, a lot of them are in English. I know that in Antwerp and Ghent and Hasselt, because right now we're still only in Flanders. This year was supposed to be the year we're trying to go to Liège in Wallonia, you know, and trying to have some more French. But right now, a lot of the ones in Brussels are in English. When everybody on the panel can speak English, we try to have it in English because I feel like it's the most accessible language. I feel like it's the one that reflects the reality of Brussels the most. So we're also trying to make sure that there's some French and Dutch here and there. But I think the thing with English is just like then, especially for online events this year, I'm really talking about this year, is because then we can put them on the internet and everybody else in the world can have access to it. And with everything we'll have produced this month, if we put it online and we plan on putting it on our YouTube page for it to be archived, I think it's going to be a lot of rich content for people outside of the, like, Belgium, in the whole world, to learn more about the realities of people in Belgium. So that's why this year I was like, okay, let's have a lot of events in English.
If you could recommend any of those events to people listening, what would they be?
So far we have a live event almost every Wednesday and Thursday with Bruce Harburg. Like next Wednesday, we have one on the reappropriation of Black aesthetics in fashion, music, and nightlife. The week after, we start with this series of three conversations called We Object, where we invite two Black people from different places on the diaspora to bring an object that symbolizes how colonialism affects their lives daily. And then they discuss, they just have a conversation for an hour about those objects and about those topics. And it's going to be every Wednesday starting from the 17th on bruceharburg.be as well. On next, the Thursday, the 18th, there's going to be a great event as well about how intersectional, or actually not intersectional, the BLM, Black Lives Matter support marches were last June in Belgium and in the Netherlands, because we're doing that again with Black Achievement Netherlands and Rainbow Nation Brussels, which is like an organization that supports Black, queer, trans, and intersex people in Brussels. Because we're going to be looking at, okay, those support marches were great, but it was not just about police brutality and Black cishet men. Where was the talk about Black queer people, Black, the issues affecting Black women, the issues affecting Black sex workers, issues affecting Black migrants, asylum seekers, and undocumented people? Like, this is, we have to contextualize to Belgium. And exactly, in Belgium, all of the Black people are under, like, some Black people are undocumented, some people have some, like, Black women are dying at a faster rate of certain things. And when we say Black Lives Matter, is whatever threats to Black lives that they are, whichever intersectionalities, intersection of identity they have, that should matter. So that's what we're going to be discussing on the 18th. On the 16th, we're going to be online on YouTube discussing this exhibition of Guy Wetin, Sorana Muncia, that is taking place at Bruce Harper right now. And also going in with them about the knowledge or the lack of knowledge about Belgian colonialism and its heritage. So a lot of very, very interesting things. Crawl the website and everything is in there. And I'm just so excited with the program that we've come up with. And I'm like, if this is what we can do online within a pandemic with limited resources, I cannot wait to see what we do when the world opens up again.
I think a lot of white people think that Black History Month is for Black people, but yeah. Black History Month can also sort of open up a lot of information to white people so that they can understand what Black people are talking about when they talk about these things. How do you address that?
The thing is, like, to me, I feel like it's kind of like a cop-out to be like, oh, it's for them. It's about them. It's for them. We don't have to look at it, because then you're not hearing the conversations where we share our experiences about a system where you have more power than we have, especially collectively, to change and to adapt. So come in and listen and see what you can get from it, you know? But totally disengaging, I feel like it's being part of the problem.